Morning, if you will, into John chapter number 14, John chapter number 14. Very familiar chapter to most, and most of the time, folks never get past the first six verses of John chapter 14. Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Amen. Some folks, they want to believe one or the other. I'm glad I can believe in God as a whole. I can believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. And I know he's all there. He said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go and prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." He wants us to know. And he said, "And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." And Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." And we get down that far so many times, and then that's where the reading stops. That's where we focus, is just on those first six verses. And praise God, I'm glad that he's prepared a place. I'm glad I know that I have a home that's awaiting me. I'm glad, as the Bible says in Hebrews about the saints of old, that they were strangers and pilgrims here, and they were looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. Amen. Not just satisfied and not just resting in what we have here, but looking for what God has prepared. And I'm glad we can have that hope, and I'm glad we can have that assurance in our life. But if you'll look with me in verse number 8, I'd like to read a few verses here this morning and preach to you on this thought that Jesus is enough. We got folks going through trouble and going through trials and burdens in their life, and when they find that all else fails, I asked Deb to sing that song, "Thread of Hope," and you turn over there in Mark and you read the story about the woman with the issue of blood, and it says, after she tried all, after all, she found that Jesus was what she needed. Amen. As blind Bartimaeus sat by the wayside and He begged for alms, and he begged for help, and he begged for his existence, and he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth that was passing by, and he began to cry out. He realized and he knew that Jesus was all that he needed, and Jesus would be enough. Amen. Aren't you glad when the undertaker had finished his job, and Lazarus had done laid in the grave for 4 days, and Mary and Martha had done sent for Jesus, and he showed up 4 days after the fact. He showed up after they were hoping that he would be there. You see, they hoped that he would get there before Lazarus died, and he would heal him before he died, but they found out that whenever Jesus shows up, he's always enough. As he spoke those words, "Lazarus, come forth." And the Bible says Lazarus came forth from the grave. You know, I want to tell you something. He didn't walk out of that grave. He levitated out of that grave. Because the Bible says he was bound in his grave clothes still. Jesus said, "Loose him and let him go." Amen. I believe he floated out of there because Jesus said so. Amen. Because Jesus called him. I'm glad that no matter what we're going through, he's always enough. But you see, we sometimes will find that he's enough when we're going through troubles, but then when good times are upon us and we find ourselves blessed of the Lord, we still want more. We're still not satisfied. We got a good church and we want a better church. You know, the only way to make a better church is to pray for the one you got. Amen. Amen. We are looking for better singers, but the way to get better singers is to pray for the ones that you got. Some folks, they want to be entertained. They think church is an entertainment industry now. And we got to have the paid singers in the church and the paid musicians in the church. And we got to have all this. And that's not going to make church any better. Amen. What's going to make church any better is to hear somebody singing with the anointing of God and the power and the Spirit of God. Maybe their voice isn't the greatest, but you can feel the Spirit and the hand of God upon them. Amen. So sometimes we are looking for a better job when God has given us the job that we needed. Amen. And we find out that the better job we had has taken us farther away from home, has taken us farther from our families and farther from all those things that we were holding dear, we were holding precious and we were seeking, and it's alienated us from our families. When God had what you needed all along. And you could have been satisfied with what Jesus had given you. And you find out that Jesus is always enough. Amen. More money doesn't make things any better. Amen. And some people think it does. But money's not the answer to everything. I tell you, Jesus is enough. In John chapter 14, verse number 8, if you have your Bibles and can stand with us, we ask you to stand as we reverence and honor the reading of God's Word. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And now sayest thou then, show us the Father. Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Father, we thank you this morning for sending us a word that anchors us, sending us a word that assures us, sends us a word that inspires us and blesses us like your word does. We thank you this morning, dear God, that in every part of the Godhead we're blessed, in the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. We thank you this morning, God, that when we witness one part, we witness it all. And we can be assured and we can have confidence in knowing that you're always enough for whatever it is that we need. Help us this morning as we look to your word to find strength, to find hope, and to be encouraged. And we'll thank you for what you've done and what you're going to do as we pray this morning in Jesus' name. We say amen. You may be seated. Jesus had been spending the evening with his disciples and preparing him for what is going to happen within just the next few hours. He's going to stand before the people who are going to cry, crucify him. The people whom he came to be a blessing to, and who many of them he was a blessing to, for the multitudes had thronged about him and he'd healed the lame and the crippled. He'd raised the dead. He'd done things unimaginable, things that no one else could do. He'd commanded demons to come out of people, and they said, no man has spake like this man has spoke. And they seen the authority. They seen the power. That they seen the anointing that was on this individual, because he was the anointed one. He was the Son of God. But yet now they cry, crucify. And yet now they'll lead him off to that place called Golgotha, where they'll nail him on an old rugged cross between two thieves. Jesus has been preparing them to take up the mantle and to keep going on. In chapter 13, he takes off his cloak and he girds himself with a towel and he begins to wash their feet. Peter said, Lord, you'll never wash my feet. Lord, I'm not going to let you do that for me. And Jesus said, Peter, if I don't, you have no part with me. He said, then not my feet, but my head and my whole body also, from head to toe. I want to be yours, holy. And Jesus was giving them a lesson in service, a lesson in humility. He said, if I, your Lord, have done this, then you need to humble yourselves and be willing to serve others and do likewise. He wanted them to be prepared to go and to do what he had been doing. He wanted them to know that they would never have to face everything that they were going to face alone. He demonstrated the essence and the benchmark of love in chapter 15. When he tells them, no greater love hath any man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends. That service will require not only humility, but service will require sacrifice. In chapter 16, he goes on to tell them of the persecutions and the trials that they're going to face. One of my favorite verses in the Bible was John 16:33, where Jesus said, I have told you these things, that in me you might have peace. For in this world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And he reminds them that they're going to face some problems, but because they have him, and because of him, they can have victory in their lives. And right here in the middle of all that, in chapter 14, Jesus is telling them that he's prepared a place for them. He wants them to know that they'll never be alone, as he's promised to never leave us nor forsake us. We might not have his presence in his bodily and earthly form and the image that we had seen and shared, but we'll have his presence in his spirit that dwells within us. We might not see him as he walks about and as he does the miracles that he's doing, but we still see the hand of God in people's lives as he touches and works the miracles of healing, the miracle of salvation, the miracle of restoration, the miracle of forgiveness for our sins. We still see him. But most of us, like Philip, still wonder if there's more. If there's more. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus just told him, you believe in God, believe also in me. He's reminded them several times in his ministry as they've walked with him that he is of the Father and that he and the Father are one. In John chapter 10, he made it clear that his sheep were in the Father's hand. They were in his hand, but they were in the Father's hand as well. And no man could pluck them out of the Father's hand. I'm thankful for that twofold assurance of salvation that we have there. He's told Philip that him and the Father are the same. In verse number 10, he says, believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. I'm glad this morning that when we look to the Word of God and we read the Word of God, and even the red words that are written in the Word of God, they are all the words of the Father that is coming to us, whether Jesus spoke them, whether God spoke them to a prophet or to one of the writers of the New Testament or whoever it might have been that penned down the very words. We have the inspired Word of God before us. And as we read the inspired Word of God, we see that Jesus is in the Word, by the Word, through the Word, and as the Word, and he conquers death, hell, and the grave by his own ability according to the Word. Amen. He's in the Word from Genesis to Revelation. He's in the Word everywhere we look and everywhere we read. It's about him. It's about his work, and it's about what he's going to do. Praise God. I'm glad that the Word is that which testifies of him, and his life proved that the testimony was true, and his life is recorded for us to see and to know, and that we might believe that he is of God and in God and from God and through God. Amen. The works that he did were by the very Word of God. Amen. Jesus made it clear he didn't come to do his own thing. You know, there's an old song, I heard it here a week or so ago. I was driving one day and I heard it, an old song that came out back in the 70s. Me and Jesus got our own thing going. You remember that song? I want you to know something. Me and Jesus don't have our own thing going. Me and Jesus got his thing going. Amen. Amen. And if you don't have his thing going, you got the wrong thing going. Jesus didn't come to do his own thing. He came to do the Father's thing. Amen. It was the Father who laid out the eternal plan of salvation. It was his Father who chose the lamb that would be slain before the foundations of the world. It was his Father who put everything into focus and everything into practice that we know for what it is. Over in Isaiah 61, it's a perfect picture of what Jesus did. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And in Luke chapter 4, when Jesus read that scripture in the synagogue, he rolled the scroll back up, he laid it down, and he said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your presence." Amen. Amen. Why? Because everything that he does, amen, was through the Word, by the Word that God had spoken. Amen. Man, he set the captives free. Look at how many were bound by spirits. He set the captives free. He gave them liberty. Look at how many were bound by physical afflictions. Amen. He set them free. He set them at liberty. Amen. Look at the ones that he encountered who were bound by the grave. They were dead. Remember, he went to visit the little village of Nain, and as he walked into the village of Nain, the pallbearers had done come out, and they were carrying the bier with the body on it, taking it to bury it, and it was a widow's only son. And as he walked by, he told them, "Don't worry about what's happening here." He said, "Young man, get on up out of there. Amen. It's time that your mama had her baby back." And he wanted them to know that even the grave couldn't bind that he set at liberty. Even the grave couldn't hold back that which he set free. There was no captivity that's overtaken us. There's no affliction that the devil brings upon us that he can't set us free from. You say, "Well, preacher, how come my loved one is sick? How come my loved one has this? How come my loved one's got that?" I don't know. God's got a purpose for everything. But you see this girl right here, it wasn't too long ago she couldn't hardly sit in a pew, amen, without a shaking, but Jesus set her free. Jesus set her at liberty. Jesus gave her freedom, amen. She found what she needed. It was 20 some years she was like that, wasn't it, Sister Joanne?
Well, not that many years.
16. Well, close. Amen. 17 years. I was close. Amen. But she suffered. And we didn't think she would ever be any different. And it would just get worse. Amen. But he still does miracles. Amen. She had the bad kind of meningitis. I remember when we was there, we was family. And went to see her. They had her in a room. They had her in a locked room. You couldn't even go in the room. We could stand outside the door and look at her. They told us they didn't know whether she would live or she wouldn't live. They told us they didn't know what was going to happen. And she come out and it affected her neuro system and messed with her bad. And it just give her a hard time. Amen. And she trusted Jesus all the time. Amen. And one day Jesus decided it's time to touch Joanne. It's time to say, she drives now. If you'd have seen her 5 years ago, you'd say, Amen. She drives now. Amen. People tell me, well, you know, God just don't do miracles anymore. Yes, he does. Amen. You just got to look around to see them. You just got to know when he does them. He just don't brag about him. And the thing of it is, we don't brag on him enough when he does. Amen. We need to brag on him. But through the word, he accomplished what he did. And by the word, and in the word, and praise God as the word. The Bible says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Amen. You know what Jesus told him back in chapter 5? He says, seek the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And he said, and you will not come to me that you might have eternal life. Everybody is wanting something else other than Jesus, and Jesus is what the Bible is telling us about. He's all through the word. God, who became flesh and dwelt among us, the living Word that walked among us, the Word that brings deliverance, the Word that brings hope, the Word that brings help. Verse number 11. We see Jesus in verse number 10 through the Word, by the word, very Word of God. In every adaptation that we see it, whether by the Word, in the Word, through the Word, as the Word, he's proven that he's enough. But in verse number 11, he says, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Believe me for the very work's sake. The work of Jesus, the work that Jesus has accomplished, the work that Jesus has done, proves that he's enough. In John 10, 33 to 38, Jesus answered him saying, for a good work, or the Jews answered him saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law? I said, ye are gods. If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe me not, believe the works that ye may know, and believe that the Father is in me, and I in him. Jesus made it clear that everything that he did was of the Father. Everything that he did was for the Father and because of the Father. Amen? He says, you might not believe my person, You know, the Bible says he wasn't much to look at. The Bible makes it plain. I believe, honestly, we see all the pictures of Jesus. They're all fake representations. You see this dashing. You see somebody play Jesus on TV. They always pick some dashing young man to play the role of Jesus, to play the part of Jesus. And that's a misrepresentation. The Bible says there was nothing about him that would make you desire him. I believe in his earthly body, in his earthly being, he was probably pretty homely looking by our standards, by what we think. Because he didn't come to impress us with his person. He didn't come to impress us by his good looks. You know, the Apostle Paul went through that. They talked about the Apostle Paul's, the false teachers that were accusing Paul of all kinds of nonsense. And they talked, and Paul said, and they talk of my contemptible speech. Paul wasn't a real plain speaker, but yet he preached some of the most stirring meetings that were ever preached. See, when Jesus came, it wasn't to manifest himself. It wasn't to do the works that he desired, but he came to do the works that the Father had sent him to do. He came to do the most difficult job that had ever been given. And that was for God to step out of his heaven. We sang that old song, "Out of the Ivory Palaces, Into a World of Woe." Something like that, isn't it? Amen. God himself, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was himself. And the Word was just in the flesh. And the Word was, turn back into John chapter 1, read it. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was, he was like God. He was a wannabe God. No. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. God himself became flesh and dwelt among us. The works that Jesus did in the flesh, they were the works of God. They weren't the works of Jesus. They were the works of God. It was the job that God had given him to do. And because of the finished work, because of the work that only he could do, you know, over in John chapter 9, verse 16, when the blind man got his sight back, and you know, he goes and shows himself to the Pharisees, and he's talking to the Pharisees, and he's all excited because Jesus has done give him his sight back. And y'all want to be his disciples too? Man, this guy is something. This guy has done exceedingly and abundantly above all that I could ever ask or think. Man, I was born blind. I've always been blind. I've never seen a thing. But praise God, one day he come my way and he touched my blinded eyes. And now I can see. I could never see before. Ain't nobody else but God can do that. Amen. And they got to arguing amongst themselves. And they said, a man that's a sinner can't do these things. Some said, he's got to be a prophet. He's got to be of God. Some said, well, he blasphemes. He's a blasphemer. Some said, well, you can say that if you want, but ain't no sinner ever opened blinded eyes. You can say what you want, and ain't no sinful man ever done the works of God. When you read back in the Old Testament, we read the miracles that were performed by the prophets. The prophets didn't do the miracles. God did the miracles. Amen. Amen. The prophets prayed for God to do the miracles. when fire came down from heaven and it lapped up all the offering that Elijah had offered and sucked up all the water that they had soaked it in, when the prophets of Baal couldn't do nothing, it wasn't Elijah that did that. God did that because Elijah prayed to God and asked God to do that. You see, the works that Jesus did, a sinful man couldn't do. Jesus didn't do them by being allowed of God to do them. Jesus did them because he was God, the Son, and doing them. Big difference. You all got that distinction? You understand what I'm saying? You getting that point? When Jesus went all the way to Calvary, and they nailed him on the old rugged cross, and his blood flowed down that cross and flowed down that hill, and he said, "It's finished." He did just exactly what God said was required. The wages of sin is death. Praise God, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. He fulfilled God's word. The finished work of Calvary. The work of sanctification in the heart of the believer. Realizing and knowing that he never stops dealing with our lives is evidence that he's enough. My wife sat the other night for better than an hour talking with one of our granddaughters about assurance of salvation. And sometimes we want to hear thunder and see lightning. We want to feel the earth shake. But Jesus is enough. But let me tell you something. If you have him in your heart, sometimes you hear thunder. Sometimes you see lightning. Sometimes you feel the world shake when he stirs your heart and he moves you. When you walk out of his way and he's constraining you to come back. See, his work isn't finished yet. He's still working in the hearts of the believer to sanctify us, to make us what we ought to be. That's why John wrote back in, I love the book of 1 John. We just got done it in Sunday school class. It took us a couple years to go through that little old book. But man, what a blessing it was. He that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Praise God, I'm glad we can know the work is working in our lives. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he's pure. You see, that's the sanctifying work of God that's still going on in our lives, trying to make us into the image of what he is, we be more like him. And the more we surrender ourselves, the more we become like him. In verse number 9, Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? His word proves he's enough. His works prove he's enough. And praise God, his presence proves he's enough. He speaks to our heart and he brings conviction to our souls for our sins. He helps us to realize that without him we're lost and on our way to a devil's hell. And he stirs us unto repentance. He stirs us unto coming unto Him. When we go through the valleys and the trials that we face in this life, it's His presence and His walking with us that keeps us where we need to be, keeps us going on. But still, we're looking for more. We're looking for something else. We got a world that is going crazy, and crazy things are happening. We wonder why they're happening. We blame everything but the root problem, because we quit walking with Jesus. Amen. Man, we got more pills going on, changing people's minds and altering their psyche. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's wrong if you're taking a medication. Some people need the medication. But some people have been put on it just because other people don't want to deal. Parents don't want to deal with their children. Amen. My brother will attest to this. Before I knew the fear of God, I knew the fear of Mabel. Amen. And that is no lie. Amen. A fellow asked me, he said, where's your mom live one time? I said, just ride down Muddy Lane. Do you see the little old lady sitting on the front porch knitting barbed wire, and you found my mom. Amen. She would beat you half to death. But parents don't want to do that anymore. We can't correct our children. And we don't want to deal with our children's bad behavior, so we run them down to the doctor and get them to put them on some medicine. And don't get me wrong. There are some chemical imbalances in people's lives that need it, but people have always done that. Before the days of Ritalin, some of you older folks will remember this. They had paregoric. Ms. Joan, huh? It's the same thing. Parents didn't want to deal with their kids. They'd give them a dose of paregoric. It put them out. You ever see them spoof commercials? You know, you see them on the internet all the time on YouTube. I got one, Kid Stone Vitamins, chewable Valium. You know, just give them to your kid, and all you got to do is poke them with a stick every now and then to see if they're still breathing. You know, it's making fun of what we've become and what we've done. And we blame everything on something else. But His presence. His presence alone. I tell everybody when I deal with a family, when somebody dies, I do sit down and tell them. I said, I encourage you to go through the grieving process. Don't let them put you on drugs. Go through the grieving process. First thing they want to do is they want to take somebody, their parents die or their child dies. They run them up to the doctor, get them on some mind-altering drug. And then they never go through the natural, normal process of grieving. I've done a funeral for a little 5-year-old boy that burned up in a house fire. His mom was in California when it happened. His parents were in California visiting her parents. The little boys were staying with the grandparents. And by the time the grandmom realized that the room was on fire, she couldn't get to it. And she was able to get one of them out. She burned her whole upper part of her body getting the one out of the window, but she couldn't get to the other one. He couldn't come to the window. And he wound up dying. The first thing they done was put that boy's mama on drugs in California. She come back, she was stoned through the whole funeral. She sat there just like, I'm not kidding you. 2 years later, I got to visit her in the hospital. You thought somebody had flipped a switch, and it was two different, or changed somebody's body. I didn't know she was in the hospital. We was up visiting someone else, and I walked by a room and heard somebody, Pastor Dennis! In Christiana, Pastor Dennis, come in here! I went back and said, who's that? She said, it's me, Luana. Come in here. I want to talk to you a minute. I said, why? How are you doing? I'm doing great. She said, I want to tell you something. She said, for 2 years, They had me on medicine. For 2 years, I never got to grieve. My baby's dying. For 2 years, I lived with the guilt of leaving and being away when my baby died. She said, but one day I come to the realization that I needed to get rid of that. I needed to cry. I poured out my heart for my baby. And you know what? God has healed my heart. You know what? He's enough. He's enough. He's enough when we need him. When we go through the valley of the shadow of death and we stop and think our loved ones that die in the Lord, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they didn't stop in the valley of death. Praise God. It was just a shadow as they passed through. He's enough. When a loved one is going through sickness and going through trials in their life and we don't understand why, we don't know why, and we keep praying to God, how come you haven't changed it? And he comes by and speaks to her heart and he just says, don't worry about it, I'm enough. When a spouse has deserted you and left you and you're alone and you wonder what you're going to do, don't worry about it. He's enough. When your husband has died and you say, well, what am I going to do now, Lord? He says, I'll be your husband. Amen. That's what he said in his word. He said, I'll be a husband to the widow. You know what? He's enough. He's enough. Amen. When your grandbaby is laying in the hospital, and they say, we're going to go into surgery. We don't know what's going to happen. And you say, Lord, you know what I want. But Lord, let your will be done. And you come out with peace in your heart when that baby has died in the surgery. I prayed, God, you know what I want. You know what my heart's desire is. But God, let your will be done. You find out he's enough. Jesus said, have I been with you so long? We have Jesus in our hearts. We have Jesus in our life. We brag about Jesus. We talk about Jesus, but then we go seeking for everything else. We want pills. We want more pleasure. We want the things that bring us more pleasure, bring the flesh more satisfaction. What happened to Jesus being enough? What happened with Jesus being all that we need? He's all I need. I love that song. When I just need someone to talk to, he's all I need. Jesus said, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not that the record God gave of his Son. John was writing to a church that was struggling with unbelief. They were struggling with the detractors that were saying, it's not real. That's all just make-believe. And John pinned down those words. We have the witness in ourselves. He's enough. Our faith. We talk about our faith sometimes, but we act like our faith is some kind of an imaginary thing, some kind of a substance that disappears, some type of a vapor that, as he talks about, appears for a while and then it's gone. But faith is not imagined. It's not untouchable. It's not realized. It has substance and can be experienced to the depths that we're willing to explore it. In Hebrews 11:1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When we place our faith in a person and not a thing. When we place our faith in a person and not a story. When we place our faith in the person and not a concept, whose name is God, we have our faith anchored in a substance that is able to sustain us in our most difficult times and through our greatest trials. In his word, we find that he's enough. In the works that he's done and in the works that he's still doing in our hearts and lives, we find out that he's enough. in His very presence. As we go through the trials of life, we find out He's enough. People are seeking for the answers of life. They're seeking for the answers for difficulties. They're seeking for the answers for eternity. And they know about Jesus, but He's not enough. They've heard about Jesus, but it's never enough. They've been witnessed to about Jesus, but it's not enough. Let me ask you something. When is it going to be enough? I got news for you. When you got Jesus, He's enough. He's all you need. Jim and Mary, let's get a song. We stand.